Well, we highlight the life and times of another senior alim in South Africa. And today we welcome and say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh to none other than Mawlana Ibrahim Bam, the Secretary General of the Jamatul Ulama. Mawlana, jazakallah khair for your time. Ahlan wa sahlan.
Wa alaikum salam. Assalamu alaikum to all the listeners and jazakallah for the opportunity.
Well, Mawlana, first of all, like we do every morning, CII, its directors, staff, and everybody involved here in any way, any capacity, want to publicly say jazakallah khairan ahsan al jaza to you for being a leader of a caliber that we haven't really seen, a person who's not afraid to make decisions in line with the movement and trends of what this Muslim community and what is good for us as an ummah. We highly value and appreciate your time and your effort for everything you do. We salute you this morning. We once, and I think this sentiment is shared by all of us, saying jazakallah, and we highly hold you as a star of our ummah.
Firstly, I think it's a good expectation. It's your husnism. May Allah Ta'ala make it true. We are just humble servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, I don't even regard myself to be part of the galaxy of people that whom you have interviewed over the past month. And I just maybe attribute it to your husnism and your first good expectation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take that into consideration.
Ameen, ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. Mawlana, your young age, growing up, where did all that happen? Running around, maybe like they say, in a cor brookie with a shirt and a tie and a cap to school or so forth. Has that ever happened to you at school?
Yes, quite a bit, because people who might be aware know that I grew up in a very small dorpy, a small country town north of Pretoria, used to be known as Wombats, although popularly people still know it as Wombats, but known nowadays as Bella Bella. And yes, it was in that particular background that I grew up in the early stages or in my young age.
Gee. And did schooling take place in that part of the world, your primary schooling, secondary schooling, tertiary schooling?
It was very interesting. Yes, the initial schooling did take place in Wombats, although we had a certain degree of upheaval at that time. You know, when I was born in 1961, and at that time there was a change over, I think, at around about 67, from one department to another. And at that time, the principal at that time, who I feel and I believe is still alive today in Roshni, Mr. Chunara, recommended at that time to the new department that, given the fact that myself, now of course we knew that June 30 was a cut off time for a person to be in a particular grade and start off at the age of 6. Gee. And he recommended that I should be exempted from that because of the fact that I did a particular grade. But be as it may, did my initial schooling in Wombats, and I what was quite maybe different or maybe surprising was that when teachers used to ask, which they normally do, or at least they used to do, I'm not sure how the trends are, what do you intend to be when you grow up? Mm-hmm. One of the things that always came was that I always used to say, I want to be a Mawlana, I want to be a religious leader. I don't know what was it with him. That was it because of my mother's side of the family were very religious people, or at least there were many ulama within that mother's side of the family, and I was quite close to them, and maybe that was one of the reasons why. That even when I was small, whenever the teachers used to ask the students, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" I always used to say, "I want to be a religious person."
Gee.
So I want to be studying the Islamic faith.
Mm-hmm.
And another aspect that was quite instrumental in the early stages of my life to be towards in that direction was there was an ustad that came in 1969 to Wombats, had a certain degree of influence over myself and maybe many others. His name was Mawlana Lutfur Rahman. He came from Bangladesh.
Yeah.
And he came to teach in Wombats at that time. He was hired by the Wombats Jamaat to teach in Wombats. And he made me start his at that time, around about 72, when I was about 11 years of age. And at that time, I started HIFS. Didn't do very, very well, because at that time, to become a HAFIZ, was not as common as what it was now, and there was a certain degree of difficulty. You had the school, you had environment, which was not always conducive. But yes, Maulana Lutfur Rahman, he remained for a long period of time in Wombat, for at least 6 years, and then he eventually migrated to the United Kingdom, and later on he got a very Mubarak death, in the sense that he died while he was making wudu, when he had taken up a post as an imam in the Luton Masjid in the United Kingdom. So that was how I started off becoming a Hafiz, or at least starting my initial stages in becoming a Hafiz.
And obviously then that went on. I mean, you wanted to do an alim course. Did you stay in South Africa to do it, or had you moved on?
No, that was also a very interesting thing. At the age of 12, my late marhum uncle, Maulana Muhammad Bamji, and I'm sure many of us would be aware of it, many people in South Africa would know him, Maulana Muhammad Bamji, who hailed from, you know, Marble Hall, he expressed the desire that he wanted to take me to Karachi. Karachi at the time was quite famous with South African students. And what Maulana Yusuf bin Rahmatullah Ali came to South Africa, I think it was 72-73. Uh-huh. And Maulana, I still recall very vividly, made me meet him outside Wombat Masjid and said, "Make dua, I want to bring this nephew of mine to study in Karachi." And Maulana made dua. And at that time, you know, being 12 years of age, to go abroad was quite a major decision. It was not something that was taken very lightly. And to take someone at the age of 12 overseas to study, while people did go, they were, normally people used to go around about 15, 16. So when he expressed a desire, my immediate family said, yes, it's a good idea. I was very enthusiastic. But the broader family had certain reservations, and one can understand now in hindsight what were the reservations. At the time, a 12-year-old son or 12-year-old child to go abroad, so they had certain reservations, and they expressed that reservation. And there were certain type of difference of opinion that occurred between my marhum uncle, my mamaji, my mamu, my maternal aunt, uncle, with the father's side of the family. Who felt that he is too young for you to be taking him abroad. He's only in standard four. What are you going to do, be taking him? He hasn't done any schooling. You're just going to take him to become a Hafiz and Alim. And it is something maybe that you should reconsider. But even at that time, my own reaction was, when the pressure was put upon my parents, my mother and my father, who looked at the situation and said, perhaps they should reconsider. At that time, I was saying, no, I want to go. So that was the thing that at the age of 12, which I was still in standard 4, nowadays known as grade 6, in mid-year, I left overseas to study. And what was also amazing was that on my way, I stayed and stopped over for 2 or 3 weeks in Makkah Mukarramah. At that time, for a young boy of 12 years to go for Umrah and then go to study
alone
was not as common as what it is today. And another very thing that sticks out, in that particular time when you went to Makkah Mukarramah and Medina Munawwara was, when you went to Medina, Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Sheikh Al-Adid, Hazrat Mawlana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was staying in Medina, and between commute between Saharanpur and Medina. And at that time, he was in Medina. So, it's quite vivid in my mind that after Isha, every day after Isha in Medina Munawwara from Masjid An-Nabawi, you used to go and have meals with him. And on my way to go and study in Karachi, we stopped over in the Haram. Of course, keeping in mind that 1973, the Haram was very different from what it is now, and one can still recall that there were pebbles in the mataf, there used to be just a line of marble, and in between the line of marble there used to be these pebbles. In Masjid An-Nabawi itself there used to be those large earthen or those large water containers that people used to carry, and they used to pour water and give the musallis. So yes, it was quite a unique experience. But in 1973, age of 12, I set out for my studies to Karachi.
And now, Maulana, I find you an excellent orator. I had an opportunity to work with you on numerous occasions. You're a sharp thinker and so forth. Was there no tertiary education involved in all that I hear and see?
That is quite an interesting thing, because people normally do ask me from time to time. You know, even sometimes there's a very, very good friend of mine, the person whom I have grown up to discuss was the person who was a teacher before Yusuf Gardas, known as Chav. And he always, after the Jumma Bayans, comes and discuss matters with regard to the English language. And he always say, I enjoy your choice of words. Why did you use this? And perhaps next time we should use this. And we have a wonderful relationship. From time to time, we also talk about books and the type of books that he has been reading, which he will recommend. And yes, the fact that I've only studied in terms of tertiary education until the age of till standard four.
Allahu.
The one thing that has perhaps kept me in good stead was that, and maybe something that was perhaps also that was put and instilled in me by my marhum father, may Allah Ta'ala grant him Jannah and elevate his status, and fill his qabr with noor, was my father always had a very great enthusiasm to do reading. And even when I went to Karachi, in the very first few months, now, you know, at the age of 12, you're not much of a reader. I mean, even while you read more than what youngsters today read, but you're not a very avid and a very keen reader. So my father subscribed to the Reader's Digest. And that time, Reader's Digest was very, very popular. And he subscribed for me to get a copy of the Reader's Digest on a monthly basis, which I used to read with quite a bit of enthusiasm at the age of 12. And since then, the aspect of reading had become part and parcel of my life. It is something that has remained with me, that very seldom would you sort of go off to sleep, whether it be even after Fajr or at night, without having a book by your bedside. And over the years, sometimes it has become six or seven books at your bedside. So maybe that has assisted me a lot, but there's been no formal education from the tertiary level from there onwards.
Amazing, Maulana. Allahu Akbar, Allah is great, and that doesn't show out at all. Maulana, I always looked at you, and I want people to understand when I use the word progressive, I don't mean to be out of bounds of Sharia and so forth, but you've been an alim who was able to take your flock through and say, listen, we have a few challenges that we need to face, and we need to talk up about this. We need to go publicly about this. You've got the courage built around you. And if you look around you over the years, from a very young age, we learned this morning, you may have grown up in this a very, very conservative type of background, but you have been able to come out of that and look at the larger picture. Is that what Maulana Ibrahim Baum is all about?
I don't know how to put it. I think, firstly, one of the reasons that when we look at, I was studying in Karachi. Now, Karachi was the hotbed of political activity in Pakistan. As students, when we went into, one of my first experience with regard to political activity was we were in the forefront of the campaign against the Qadianis to declare them as non-Muslims, keeping in mind that Hazrat Maulana Yusuf bin Nur Rahmatullah Ali was the head of the Majlis Ta'affuz al-Khatmi Nabuwat, who led the campaign to declare Qadianis out of the fall of Islam in the Pakistan Assembly in 1974 by Zulfikar Ali Bhutto. Now, we were there. We students of the madrasa were taking part in that together with their studies. So there was a certain degree of getting involved in things that happened while you were studying. There were many other issues that came up from time to time to do with Pakistani politics that by the very nature of the madrasa that we were in and the personalities that were there, that we did get involved. Uh-huh. And when I came back, I suppose, I was also in a very, and I was quite surprised, because when I came back, I came from Newtown Madrasa, the way it was called at the time, now it's known as Inuri Town. I came from Newtown, and my first appointment, so to speak, was in Newtown Masjid. And, you know, I studied from 1973 to 83, finishing my Hifz and my Alim course in Karachi. Remarkable years. Although when you hear about Karachi today, you think of a political turmoil and upheaval. But as students, Karachi at that time was a wonderful place to stay. And I think one of the things that made it wonderful amongst other things, was a remarkable group of students from South Africa that stayed together in Karachi. Mawlana Rafiq Haturani, Mawlana Iqbal Haturani, Mawlana Shabir Saluji, Mawlana Yusuf Bamji, Mawlana Zahir Raghi, all of us were there, and it was a wonderful camaraderie that you had that lent itself to the making the stay there very, very pleasant, very wonderful and I think a very fulfilling one. Another aspect from my personal point of view, I had an aunt who was in Karachi, my mother's sister who was there, who was in some way quite instrumental in making that stay a little more easier. She later on migrated to Panama and she passed away there. So we were all the time in the hotbed of activity, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, when you came back, you came to Newtown Masjid. Now, Newtown Masjid at that time